Support for this podcast comes from the Fletcher School of Global Affairs at Tufts University. To start your future as a global changemaker, you must have context across fields like international business, cybersecurity, energy policy, and more. Don't just study global affairs, shape them. Visit fletcher.tufts.edu.
And now, the state of beer in our state.
When I started at this job 6 years ago, there were 120 breweries, and today there are 230 operational breweries, with 30 more in planning, slated to open at the close of this year or the beginning of next. So certainly no sign of slowing down at all.
That is Katie Stinchin, Executive Director of the Mass Brewers Guild, talking to us in our first edition of Brewed in Mass. Brewed in Mass is our series on the thriving and growing beer brewing industry in Massachusetts, which is ranked sixth in the nation, according to the beverage website VinePair. So it's December, and we thought for our second installment, how about shopping local? Here in Studio 2, Sarah Lee, Director of Business Operations at Medusa Brewing Company, which is located in Hudson, Massachusetts, and Kelsey Roth, who is a Cicerone, which we'll explain, and a board member for the Mass Brewers Guild, and is General Manager of Exhibit A Brewing in Framingham, Massachusetts. Sarah, Kelsey, welcome.
Hi, thanks for having us.
Yeah, thank you.
Great to have you. And since we are tasting, we invited one of our guests from the conversation we just finished on the State of Local News, Northeastern Professor Dan Kennedy, to stick around and taste with us. Dan, thanks for sticking around.
Well, as you know, I actually just refused to leave, so here I am.
Got you. That's fantastic. Okay, so Kelsey, not everyone does know what a Cicerone is. I learned when we did the first segment of Brewed in Mass. So what is a Cicerone?
My brother keeps calling me a Cicerone, and I'm like, no, that's something completely different.
Yeah, I don't know what that is either. So.
It's a fried pork skin.
Got it. The easiest way to describe it is it's like a sommelier, but for beer.
Okay.
There's a training program and exams that you go through. And you cover, beer, everything from how it's made to food and beer tasting and things like that.
So there are going to be two listeners in my head on that. One is going to say, right, I totally get that. And Sarah, the other one's going to say, how could there be enough beers that you would need to have a Cicerone?
You know, I think that's the common misconception when it comes to craft beer. People have a very narrow vision of what beer means to them, and they don't necessarily know that there's a whole world to explore out there. And a lot of the craft breweries in Massachusetts are doing some really fun, different styles and different techniques and coming out with all sorts of flavors. And I think you'll see that kind of reflected in some of the beers we brought today.
Yeah, so this is what we're going to do. We're going to taste and talk.
Awesome.
And the two of you brought two different things. Each of you brought one beer from your own collection, from Medusa and from Exhibit A. But you each actually, because we're talking a little bit about holiday shopping, you each actually brought a beer that you admire from someone else's business, correct?
Correct.
And that is part of what is striking about Brewed in Massachusetts, is that, I mean, you know, the free market works through competition. Anybody who's taken their macroeconomics knows that. And yet, somehow it seems like we've developed a fairly supportive ecosystem, Kelsey, here in the state.
Yeah, it's unique because I think we all kind of understand that, you know, the old phrase, a rising tide lifts all boats. And, you know, craft beer is still less than 30% of the overall beer market. And so we're kind of all in this together, and it's very collaborative. A lot of us are very small businesses, you know, with under 10 employees. So we need a lot of help, and so we lean on each other, and you know, we borrow CO2 from our friend's brewery or yeast, or you know, we run out of something, and you know. We need a sensor for our canning line, you know. So
yeah, and the CO2 thing is a big deal, right?
Yeah.
That's
a
key ingredient, right, Sarah? And there's been a shortage for more than a year now.
Yeah, unfortunately, a few of our brewing friends, you know, just within the state have had a lot of supply issues. Obviously, COVID caused a lot of those issues with just the supply chain being delayed or just non-existent. So unfortunately, a few of our friends have taken that hit. And hopefully we'll see some improvements here in the future. But I know, within the Brewers Guild even, there's been a lot of conversations within our network saying, how can I help you? You know, do you need some CO2? I have an extra tank. Like,
so literally like borrowing a cup of sugar from your neighbor.
For sure. Mm-hmm. Yeah, that really is how it feels.
All right. So, Kelsey, we're going to start with the beer from Exhibit A that you brought. And Dan, this is part of the reason that we wanted you. So while Kelsey is going to make some noise here while he puts some glasses out, opens the beer, Dan, is called, wait for it, Sunday Paper. So what do you remember about your Sunday Paper, Dan?
Well, you know, one of the problems in the newspaper business is that they lost all their classifieds. But you may recall that it wasn't that many years ago that it practically took two people to bring the Boston Globe in from the front porch because of all those section after section of classified ads. So that's pretty much gone away.
But I love that metaphor because this is a heavy beer, Kelsey, right?
It
this is like the classified ads version of a...
Is there a print version of the Sunday paper?
Yeah, this is the this is like the online version, I think. But okay. Yeah, it's 9.9%.
So that's alcohol. For people who don't know, yeah. In beer, oh my God, that's a lot of alcohol. So Sarah and Dan and I are going to taste a little, and you're going to tell, Kelsey, and then while we comment, you can taste. So you tell
Absolutely.
While we taste.
Yeah, so this beer is, so like I said, it's 9.9% alcohol. It's made with
yes,
all
it is.
locally roasted and grown malts. So it's got a lot of local grain in it. And we partner with Barrington Coffee Roasters to add some coffee flavor to
That's
it.
That's what it is.
So, yeah.
Did you notice the coffee?
Yes, especially on the aftertaste.
Yeah.
I tend to like a heavier beer anyway, so I'm glad we started with the stout. This is terrific.
And I get the Sunday paper reference now, the little bit of coffee, the sort of comfort food dimension of it. Your reaction, Sarah, this is Kelsey's beer, your reaction to it.
I think it's beautifully balanced. You get the really nice roasty, malty notes from the coffee, and I'm assuming some of the rich malts that you're using for this beer. You definitely get a little bit of that alcohol burn, which is always really nice, I think, in the wintertime when you're trying to get cozy, and this is a great cozy beer.
Yeah, it warms you up a little bit inside.
Yeah.
All right, so in a minute, we're going to turn, Sarah, to you and Medusa and your first beer, but I want to talk for a second. One of the things that was striking to me, both in the first Brewed in Mass that we did, but also in studying your breweries for today, is the real effort that the companies seem to be making to play an important role in the local community. So here's a little more from Katie Stinchin of Mass Brewers Guild.
I certainly get calls from every downtown across Massachusetts saying, we want a brewery here. So there's also a lot of, no one's sad when a brewery moves into their town or their city. So I think that there is some demand for that as well.
So two things. One, first, I'm going to zero in on the no one is sad. We do still have dry towns. Sarah, we have eight of them, including places like Dunstable, for example. But it sounds like that is changing and that there's something about sort of anchor tenant, which I know has been your case in Hudson.
Sure.
That is changing that relationship.
Sure. So Medusa's been in Hudson for 7 years. When we first entered Hudson, it was a very quiet town. There wasn't a lot going on. Main Street was, you know, just smaller businesses that were kind of getting a little older. And so when we kind of entered the town, there was a huge kind of attempt to revitalize the community there. And I think what we're seeing with craft brewery and, you know, in Hudson, through our experience specifically, we realized that craft beer became a hub. It's a communion center point. It's not about necessarily always about the beer. It's not about, you know, just going to a bar. It's actually about bringing people together, bringing people of all different, you know, types of life, walks of life to this one focal point to just talk about whatever they wanted to talk about. It's a point of, I think, communion is a super important word. Kelsey and I talked about before too. You know, sometimes we say we're not in the business of selling beer. We're actually in the experience of making sure you have a good experience, because beer just is a catalyst for that. It's just a small piece of that.
And you, Medusa Brewing, just opened Wild Hair, which is actually, I don't want to say more than just a brewery.
Sure.
Kind of trying to reflect that, right?
Yeah. So, you know, Hudson actually just plugged to Hudson. We won the greatest Main Street in America just with some of our local business partners out there. And Wild Hair, just we wanted to add to that sense of community. So Wild Hair is actually our barrel aging program. It's our oat conditioning program. And so we just do some more complex styles there. And one of my beers will feature that today.
So let's do that. That's the Hither and Yon.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
Okay. So tell us a little bit about the Hither and Yon. And so we are, this is Sarah Lee, you're hearing from Medusa Brewing Company. We also have Kelsey Roth, who's at Exhibit A. Dan Kennedy from Northeastern is here as our taster. And this is us exploring the brewing industry in Massachusetts. So tell us about Hither and Yon.
Yeah,
Sarah.
Sure. So Hither and Yon is a really interesting beer. Wild Hair was named because, you know, it's an experience. When you do barrel aging, it's always a little bit of an experimental program. You don't really quite know how it's going to turn out. Also, there's the connection to the Medusa's wild hair, if you will.
Which is snakes.
Yes,
not
exactly.
Not just hair.
And not just hair.
Let's
it's snakes.
Let's be clear. It's snakes.
Yeah, it's pretty crazy. So this is one of, I think, just a really true reflection of that. So this has been, This is a beer that has been aged for 14 months in Cabernet barrels.
We're tasting while you're talking.
Yeah, yeah. Okay. And so this one is a Flanders Brown Ale. So Flanders Browns are known for being a little bit more slightly fruity with like plum, stone fruit.
Yeah,
it doesn't taste like beer.
I've never had anything like that before.
It's a very unique flavor. And because it's been aged in for 14 months in a Cabernet barrel, you're adding complexity, you're adding profile. So you get a little bit of that oak from that barrel. You get the fruitiness from the wine. You get a little bit of that tannic structure towards the finish. But in the beginning, you get malts, you get plum, you get dates, stone fruit. And this is actually a really great beer for, we've talked about before, people have a narrow-minded view of what beer's supposed to taste like. And this kind of shakes that mindset.
Yeah,
for you.
I would say if I were telling somebody, I would say it's not beer, it's hither and yon.
Mm-hmm. Right? Yeah.
So Dan, tell me about what your reaction is to tasting this.
You know, it was very surprising, that's for sure. And I picked up the Cabernet immediately.
Yeah.
That seemed to be, it almost tastes like a combination of if you poured beer and Cabernet into a glass.
In a way that tasted good.
Tasted good. Yeah, I know. It doesn't sound good, does it? This is terrific.
Thank you.
Kelsey, your reaction to Medusa's beer?
I think this is a fantastic example of the style. It has those like nice little cherry notes to it, you know, and you get the oak character as well. This is actually a style of beer that turned my brother into enjoying beer. He was just a wine person. I'm like, try this.
Okay, so let's then, because we're talking about holiday shopping, Sarah, you said this was a something, something, something type of beer, and I totally missed it. What is it?
So this is a Flanders Brown Ale. Okay. So this is a type of craft beer that a lot of people don't know about. It originated in Belgium. It has a slightly tart character. It's not like vinegary, but it has a slight tartness to it. But it has that stone fruit, that caramely taste almost, toffee notes I get as well.
And so, Kelsey, you're saying that if you know somebody who's interested in beer but likes wine, a Flanders Brown Ale might be a way to go.
Yeah, any of these like wine barrel aged sour beers are a great stepping point because you're already tapping into those flavor profiles that they understand and that they like.
And for the Sunday paper, A, at nearly 10% alcohol, to be probably drunk at home if you're going to give it to someone. And that's a local buy, right? Because you're working with Barrington Brewing Coffees, mm-hmm. coffee roasters.
Absolutely.
That. Okay, so now the two of you have also brought in, and this is interesting, again, underscoring this ecosystem or ecosystem. You've brought in beers that you love that you didn't make, that other people made. And this is part of that, who do you shop for and how and what do you recommend? So, Kelsey, you brought something from Lost Shoe Brewing and Roasting in Marlboro. Is that right?
Mm-hmm.
So tell us about it. And you can sort of, do we need to give you these back to pour out our glasses
sure.
so you can put more in? Okay. And
so,
I do want to point out, we are sipping responsibly here in Studio 2. We really are. We're doing it like a wine tasting. Everything gets poured back, and then we try again. So tell us about this one.
Yeah, so this beer is called Miracle on 19 Weed Street, and this is their Holiday IPA.
Okay.
So it's made with Cascade, Simcoe, and Chinook hops. And
so those are three kinds of hops.
Three kinds of hops.
Are any of those grown around here?
No, this isn't really a very good hop-growing region.
Okay.
Not historically. We do have some hop farms now. We have Four Star Farms in Western Mass, and we have some hop farms in Maine. Sorry. I'm going to reach across the table.
That's Kelsey and me reaching across the table so I can get the glass.
To add a little holiday flair to this, they brew it with spruce tips, too. So it adds like a little
spruce
bit of...
Spruce like the tree.
Yeah.
Okay, right, Dan. That was my reaction, too. Okay, so listen. Sarah, have you tasted yet?
It's delightful.
All right, so you talk while I taste.
Yeah, I think this is really unique. It's very bright. You get the spruce right off the bat on the nose. It's really definitely there. You get like
you
a kind
do.
Of a botanical vibe from this, almost like a gin. Because of that spruce, and then that hop finish is really mellow and a little citrusy, which is really nice.
Yeah, it's a hazy IPA,
mm-hmm,
correct?
Yep, definitely.
I'm a huge IPA fan, and I do enjoy the hazies. Dan, what do you taste here? Oh, Dan was still tasting.
I took a second small taste just because I'm trying to form my thoughts. You know, the spruce hints are really interesting. I kind of feel like beer makers have done hops to death, and I'm a little bit down on IPAs these days, but this is excellent. I like the spruce. It's just got a unique quality to it, and it's very drinkable.
Yeah.
Although I'm going to stop.
And, it almost feels to me like, it tastes to me like, you know when you go through a pine trees and they poke you a little bit? It's like the spruce is just poking you.
It has a little sharpness to it.
Right? Yeah, exactly. All right. So, Sarah, you brought in something from Redemption Rock Brewing Company in Worcester.
I did.
Okay.
So these are friends of mine in Worcester, run by a fantastic woman leader named Dani Babineau, CEO and founder. Redemption Rock, what's really unique and fun about them, they're actually a certified B Corp, which is really wonderful. They
That's
run
a new business model.
Yes, it is. It's basically a certification, basically kind of saying that the company is committing to just not only in the business market, but in the social economy market as well, being concerned about things like the environment, social welfare, and community, and that's built into their operations and business model, which is a very fun thing. And what I really love about them is that they also don't accept tips. They pay all of their workers a wage, and their tips get donated every single month to a different charity or a different organization in Worcester, Massachusetts.
Okay, so just before we taste, just tell us the name of this beer.
Yeah, so this beer is called Bière de Fête, which is French. It pretty much translates to like festive beer. This is a holiday beer.
It tastes like it.
Yeah, you get clove, you get ginger, some fun spices in there. It's got a dry finish with that little bit of that toffee notes that you may have tasted in the hither and yon as well. And it's just a really beautiful holiday beer. I think it would go really well with like a gingerbread cookie or...
It kind of tastes like a gingerbread
cookie. Yeah, exactly.
All right, so listen, while everybody tastes, I'm going to play a little sound from our last Brewed in Mass conversation. Our guest taster was Beth Chandler, who's the president of YW Boston. They've worked with Castle Island Brewing Company, who was our guest. Here's a little about why that partnership was important to her.
It's a predominantly male dominated field. And mm-hmm. so thinking about what can they do for folks who identify as women or those that are non-binary, how to ensure that they feel included both as employees and as folks who drink beer. Beer is often associated with white folks, not black folks, right? And so how do you make sure that that customers who are people of color feel welcome in breweries? So there's lots to talk about. There's lots that we can give to Castle Island and other brewers about thinking about why does diversity matter? Because it does.
So, Kelsey, Sarah emphasized the diversity and the focus on justice of Redemption Rock Brewing. Tell us a little about what you taste in this beer and what you think of Beth's point as this industry. I mean, any ecosystem keeps somebody out.
Yeah. It's well, first about the beer, this is like Christmas in a glass.
Yeah, right?
I can feel the snow falling outside.
Yeah.
It's a big issue. It has been a big issue for a long time for the brewing industry. It's been very white and male for a long time. And, if we keep catering to that market, and just from a business standpoint, we're missing out on, a huge section of the population. And we're not that, It's like if you want to reflect the community and the neighborhoods you're in, you really need to include everybody. And create a welcoming space and a welcoming tap room that makes people want to come, and experience the beer that you have.
All right. And Dan Kennedy, four thumbs up on the four beers?
Yeah, absolutely. And I would say Christmas in a glass is exactly the way I would describe it as well. I could easily picture drinking this with family and friends on Christmas Eve or Christmas Day. I mean, it just seems like it's made for that.
All right, so Dan Kennedy, our guest taster, Northeastern University professor. Sarah Lee, Director of Business Operations at Medusa Brewing Company and its sister restaurant, The Wild Hare, which are in Hudson. And Kelsey Roth, Cicerone, board member of the Mass Brewers Guild and general manager of Exhibit A Brewing Company in Framingham. Four great beers, three great guests. Thanks to all of you.
Thank you very much.
Thank you.
Thank you so much.
There's more ahead. I'm Tiziana Deering, and this is Radio Boston.